good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he didn't cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Chuzhunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. That is correct. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Wendy and I are somewhere in Pennsylvania right now, and it's kind of exciting. You can kind of pull up to one of these fast food places, and they have tremendous Wi-Fi, and here we are. It's getting ready to hail, and Wendy and I did a live recorded animal section for the end of the show, and she was driving. So if she swore a few times, I hope the mothership can beep it out a few times.
I only swore once.
She said she only swore once.
Oh, well, okay. You sound great, and great to have you guys with us today.
Right on. And we have Robert Lilligren on today, and we always love talking to Robert. There's a lot of stuff happening. But first, before we get to Robert, why don't we take a quick listen to our friend, the governor of the great state of Wisconsin, Governor Tony Evers.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update.
In April, we celebrate Hmong Heritage Month. Hmong and Asian American Wisconsinites have been enriching our history, culture, and communities for decades. We are proud that our state is home to the third largest Hmong population in our nation. That includes the courageous Hmong Lao veterans who fought alongside U.S. troops during the Vietnam War, and the many Hmong and Asian American community leaders, educators, small business owners, and more who call Wisconsin home today. Through several of our statewide grant programs, we've been able to support the work of outstanding organizations that serve Hmong and Asian American communities, like the Hmong American Center, the Hmong Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce, and WOKMA, and more. This has included supporting efforts to provide culturally competent mental health and health care and ensure underserved communities in our state can find the care they need. I was proud to designate May 14th as Hmong Lao Veterans Day here in Wisconsin, and each year since, we've lowered the flags to recognize and honor the service and sacrifice of Hmong Lao veterans. And this week, I signed a bill to build on those efforts by ensuring the histories and stories of the Hmong and Asian American communities are taught in K-12 schools across our state. Folks, it's important that we celebrate our shared histories, and Wisconsin wouldn't be the state it is today without Hmong and Asian American communities. Simple as that. So with that, happy Hmong Heritage Month, and take care.
Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Well, thank you, Governor Tony Evers, for that update. As you know, I was a high school teacher in St. Paul, Minnesota, and we had a very large Hmong community. So it's good to hear Wisconsin taking care of our Hmong relatives, which I believe, you know, they're clans, and there's many things that are very similar to us Native Americans, and we pray over our food, and they're clan members, and so it's great to hear that update. Hey, we have Robert Lilligren on, Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities. I should say they're in the Twin Cities and Minneapolis area, seeing that we're lost here in Pennsylvania somewhere.
You're at some drive-through, it looks like, in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Definitely. So how's it going, Robert?
So far, so good. Yeah, it's been a busy and intense week, but getting stuff done.
Well, that's what your organization does and all the other groups that you're involved with, which are many. So can you tell our listeners a little bit what you've been doing this week?
Yeah, well, and I'll get into that, but I really want to talk about that heartwarming message from Governor Evers, and
yes.
I think it's really important that he he brings his message to the Native community through Native Roots Radio. And it right away, when you introduced him, it made me think of South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem and Noem and her relationship with her tribes and her state. And she just got banned from a second reservation, Cheyenne River. She's already been banned from Oglala for her really egregious statements. She's been saying that the reservations in South Dakota have relationships with drug cartels in Mexico and they're bringing drugs up. And she's been showing up in important spaces, Native spaces, uninvited, unannounced. And so just this week, Cheyenne River voted unanimously their council to ban her from their lands.
So, wow, yeah. That's great points. And go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it shows how important it is for Native people to be involved in elections. And especially not just tribal elections, right? We have tribal elections going on here in Minnesota right now. But or with our Chippewa tribes, but yeah, with the broader elections as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I've seen that happening. And good luck to all the people that are running. And everyone, stay involved with your tribal government. We know, and I know personally how important that is too.
Yeah. So in Minnesota, for folks who aren't from here, to where. We have 6 of our 7 Ojibwe tribes operate under one shared constitution. They're called the Minnesota Chippewa Tribes, MCT. And the MCT tribes are in an election cycle right now for their chairs, council, and some council members. We just had primaries this week. And so general elections are coming up. So if you're a member of a Minnesota Chippewa tribe, please pay attention. You have the opportunity to vote for your leadership.
So do they do what kind of what Ho-Chunk does? If they don't get the 50%, they go on to a runoff with the top two?
That's exactly it. And I know, Robert, you have direct experience in this realm, but that's exactly it. So I don't know that I saw a single race that that went over 50%, but don't quote me on that. I've only seen a few of the tribes races, but there's going to be several runoff elections, general elections, coming up. And the candidates now post primary, I've already heard from a few campaigns that are looking to come down here into the cities and engage with the urban Indian population, which makes a lot of sense to me. There are more of their membership living off of the reservations than on the reservations. And if I can get on a soapbox for 5 seconds here, you know, I was combing through my tribe, White Earth, the candidates' web pages and materials, they've been mailing kind of heavy down here, which is nice. But there's very little reference, well, I shouldn't say very little, there's no reference to what these candidates are going to do for the urban community once they're elected. So it'll be nice to get them down here. We can ask them, where do we show up in your priorities? Where do we show up in your platforms?
Yeah, really good point. And my other job, we are pretty much all over the country, right. And Ho-Chunk does not have a reservation. They have trust land in Wisconsin, and it's like checkerboard all over. It isn't one mass. So those are really good questions to ask your politicians.
Hear. So looking forward to that. So otherwise there's a lot going on down here you both know, Haley and Robert, that May is American Indian Month in the state of Minnesota. We're the only state that has this special designation. It was an initiative of the American Indian Movement way back in the day. And so there's a lot that's going to be going on, a lot of planning, a lot of buzz around this, both within the Native community and outside. But the big deal thing is the Minneapolis American Indian Center, which has been closed for a whole redesign, will be reopening on May 1st. And so the community is going to have a big parade, kind of a big deal. We'll end up at the Indian Center and really celebrate the reopening.
Wow, we're really excited, and definitely we'll be there and one shape or form, and it's always exciting and can't wait to see that. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute, here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and we'll be right back after this short break.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950. As we gear up for American Indian Celebration Month in May, it's crucial to prioritize our health, especially with celebrations on the horizon. If you start feeling off, like a fever, a tickle in the throat, or heavy fatigue, don't ignore it. Take an at-home COVID-19 test right away. And remember, if you're not feeling well, it's okay to stay home. Your health comes first. A quick note on COVID testing. The Minnesota Department of Health's free COVID-19 at-home testing program has ended. But don't worry. If you're uninsured, you can still find no-cost tests using the CDC's COVID-19 testing locator. If you have health insurance, you might be eligible for free tests or reimbursement for testing expenses. Just ask your local pharmacy or health insurance provider for more information. Stay informed. Stay protected. Let's prioritize our health this American Indian Celebration Month in May and ensure our communities and elders remain safe and healthy. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health. Visit health.state.mn.us.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota. And we just had a little bumper from Leonard Peltier, and word is it that Leonard's not doing too well, I heard from a couple people just today. And our prayers are out for the longest political prisoner in the history of the United States.
Yep, prayers up.
Yeah, Robert, so good to see you as always. What's going on else in the Twin Cities? I know we got something coming up. Haley's going to talk about next section about the 6th. Maybe Haley can jump in and talk a little bit about that, and then we can kind of talk about that. Haley, do you have the capacity?
I do. Thank you so much. Yeah. Well, you guys are doing something at the All My Relations Arts Gallery for your guys' current exhibit, Okizi, which means to heal. And you guys are doing a roundtable, it looks like, with some of the artists Saturday, April 6th from 1 to 3. And you guys are also going to be, I think, serving a little something or doing an artist talk and then food and beverage beforehand, right?
Yep. So it's the closing sort of reception. The show's about ready to close. It's been a really impressive show. It's a partnership with one of our Native or non-Native institutions here locally, the American Swedish Institute. And so they're much larger than we are. They have a lot more capacity. And it features Native artists from here, from Turtle Island, and then also indigenous artists from Scandinavia, from Sweden, the Sami artists. And there's these incredible, you know, Robert, you were talking about the parallels between Hmong people and Native people, and between Sami people and Native people. There are lots of parallels. They were forced to assimilate. They had genocide committed against them. They were controlled by controlling their food source, which was caribou, reindeer, caribou, much like the Plains Indians here were controlled by the elimination of the buffalo. So anyway, it's an incredible, breathtaking work. It's on two sites. One is in our gallery on Franklin Avenue on the American Indian Cultural Corridor, All My Relations Arts, and one is at the impressive American Swedish Institute building, not far away, maybe about a mile and a half from us. So I'd encourage folks to come out. If you can come, the list of artists that'll be participating on Saturday is really impressive. So Haley, thanks for bringing that up. And I would invite everyone to come on down to All My Relations Arts Saturday at 1 p.m.
Yes, right. 1 to 3.
Right on. Yeah, and we, I know Haley and I and a lot of our listeners really enjoy All My Relations Arts. And, you know, just sitting in the coffee shop, the Powwow Grounds, which is adjacent to that, there's so many people that, like, show up from out of state, out of country, that come directly to there. Robert, that must be an exciting kind of feeling, because I know I've run into that the few times that I've been there hanging out, you know?
Right, yeah. So Powwow Grounds, great coffee shop, important community meeting point. And then our office is at NACDI, or right off the coffee shop as well. So there's always something going on. You're at work. I can't tell you how many times I might be sitting in the office and I'm like, wow, I really need to talk to person X about something. And I'll look out into the coffee shop and sure enough, they're sitting there. It's great. You know, that's happened so many times. But yeah, it's the place to see and be seen on the American Indian Cultural Corridor.
Well, it's not like when you see Haley and I and you lock the door and turn the lights right. off. You know, everyone kind of hides under the table.
We're banging on the door.
Right. Yeah. Somehow you still get in. I'm not sure. Yeah. Somehow you do that.
We know there's a back door now.
Right, right.
But yeah, I just can't say, you know, the Native Corridor, Franklin Avenue, I just can't say enough about that. And especially now, with the Indian Center opening, it's exciting.
It's very exciting and so much going on. And then within NACDI, so much going on. And so we're an asset-based community development agent in the community. We promote the idea of the American Indian Cultural Corridor as a destination on Franklin Avenue and as an economic engine for our community, which is huge. And we do our work. We have the Arts and Culture and All My Relations Arts is the signature project there. Then we also work in food sovereignty, and we have Four Sisters Farmers Market starting up in just a few months. We have a full slate of vendors, and I would encourage people to come down on Thursdays from 11 to 3 for that. And then we do our work for Make Voting a Tradition, which is civic engagement, where we focus on getting Native families to engage, not just in voting, but in the whole sort of policy process, holding our elected officials accountable. We do this year round. And our Make Voting a Tradition was recognized this spring. I think you were there, by the Minnesota Secretary of State. Yeah. With a National Secretaries of State Award for the work that we're doing. So we do this range of community engagement and activities, but it's all to lift up the community towards our vision that we see for ourselves.
Well, and that's so important. And I just applaud you and your organization. We know, Haley and I know, most of the people that work for you and with you, and how important the community has these options that they didn't have. You know, this is something that's really fairly new, right, Robert?
Yeah, fair. You know, there's a level of engagement. It's interesting. This week, I got a chance to address some visitors from Great Britain, and they were the PR and social media people for the Tottenham Hotspurs soccer group. And when I say that to people who follow soccer, they get really excited. To me, I didn't know that much, but they were kind of asking, you know, they knew I was a Minneapolis City Council member for a long time. They knew I was a regional policymaker now, and they were asking what kind of impact, or if I've had a lot of impact bringing sort of Native perspective into policymaking. And I had to answer truthfully, and I'm like, you know, not so much. Historically, I was able to advance a few things, but now, just recently, there's just so much more energy and interest, and in the regional government that I'm part of, the Metropolitan Council, We're establishing our design guidelines for our future planning to the year 2050, comprehensive plans. All communities do them every 10 years. And we have a whole section now that's really centered around Native perspective, Native values. Our first objective is to respect our relationship to the land, water, and water. And that feels very Indigenous. We have a whole chapter of our equity framework that is now centering Native voices. We brought together an advisory group that's like a creme de la creme of across the generations cultural carriers here. And we just had this presented to the full council last night. And I was so moved. I had like tears in my eyes. I'm like, oh my gosh, we've just never had this presence in regional planning and policy making before. And I suspect that we're going to have a much better region because of it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when we do better, everybody does better. And that's been a proven fact when in whatever Natives are involved with. So kudos to you and your organization. And hopefully people across Turtle Island are hearing this, can reach out to you. Maybe tell people how they can get a hold of you, too, because it's important that people have allies like Native American Community Development Institute and yourself to spread their wings and all the diverse things you're doing and also all the connections that you have.
Yeah, thanks for your kind words. And I would ask people to visit our website, nacdi.org, N-A-C-D-I.org, and then they can link through and connect with me or any of our incredibly talented staff. And I would love it. I always ask people to think of me as a resource here. And so, so please do. And I mean, Robert, just to go back to what you were just talking about, and for a long time, not just since I've become a policymaker and stuff, but I really felt that the solutions for a lot of the issues, the damage we've done to this planet, to the air, to the water, to the land, to each other, I felt like the solutions are Indigenous ones. And not even just Indigenous to Turtle Island, Indigenous to wherever across the globe. And to me, in my younger years, it was hard for me to see how these Indigenous perspectives could really be centered in some of these solutions and sort of the policy making, the governing and things like that. But now I can see it more and I'm seeing it happen, right? And so it really gives me hope.
Yeah, one of the things that I saw was, and we just had an anniversary of 8 years with Standing Rock, and all the Indigenous people from all over the world showing up and supporting the Standing Rock Reservation and what was going on there, mm-hmm. and how that's really manifested in these last 8 years, I believe.
It's huge, and that was had a profound impact on how I do my work, how I view my work, visiting Standing Rock during its most peaceful and prayerful days. And sometimes I use shorthand and say it taught us that we can go forward by going backward, right? We can mm-hmm. go to on a foundation of our traditions, we can move our whole communities forward.
Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, the Native American Community Development Institute, and our friend. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
We are a Lusa Nation.
At Metro State University, students learn how to change the world their way through in-demand degree programs including healthcare, technology, cybersecurity, and business. Realize your power to change in a learning environment dedicated to equity, inclusion, and anti-racism. Explore 60-plus bachelor's degree programs at Metro State's open house events, online March 28th and in person March 30th. Visit metrostate.edu/openhouse for details. Metro State University, where learning meets living.
As we gear up for American Indian Celebration Month in May, it's crucial to prioritize our health, especially with celebrations on the horizon. If you start feeling off, like a fever, a tickle in the throat, or heavy fatigue, don't ignore it. Take an at-home COVID-19 test right away. And remember, if you're not feeling well, it's okay to stay home. Your health comes first. A quick note on COVID testing. The Minnesota Department of Health's free COVID-19 at-home testing program has ended. But don't worry. If you're uninsured, you can still find no-cost tests using the CDC's COVID-19 testing locator. If you have health insurance, you might be eligible for free tests or reimbursement for testing expenses. Just ask your local pharmacy or health insurance provider for more information. Stay informed. Stay protected. Let's prioritize our health this American Indian Celebration Month in May and ensure our communities and elders remain safe and healthy. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health. Visit health.state.mn.us.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas is your pathway to a bachelor's degree. Located in downtown Minneapolis, Doherty Family College offers an affordable education that includes free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass. As a full-time Doherty Family College student, you'll benefit from mentorship from St. Thomas faculty, along with paid internships and support from Minnesota's largest private college. Ready to turn your dreams into reality? Apply now at dfc.stthomas.edu. Doherty Family College, your journey to success starts here.
All My Relations Arts presents Okizi. Okizi means to heal, and the exhibition highlights the healing power of cultural revitalization for Native communities. Okizi showcases prints, mixed media, textiles, beadwork, digital collage, and glass sculptures by Native American and Sami artists. It explores Indigenous communities' active healing efforts through language revitalization, land back movements, and embracing traditional knowledge. Visit All My Relations Arts to experience Okizi through April 13th. More information at allmyrelationsarts.org.
Think your company's safe? Your staff is working from home, right? As I speak, cyber criminals are mounting attacks across the country. Remember, when we're weakest, cyber criminals attack. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. The Rimark team is guiding our clients through these difficult times. In fact, demand has been so high, we created an easy-to-follow guide. It's yours free. Download our 5 steps to securely work from home now at RimarkIT.com or call 651-328-8900 for a no-cost how-to discussion.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 31, Friday sunny with a high near 54, and Saturday sunny with a high around 56. Discover perfection at Maverick's Real Roast Beef in Roseville. From Philly cheesesteak to crispy chicken, every bite is exceptional. Add freshly cut fries or rings for a winning combo. Visit mavericksbeef.com or find them off Lexington and Roseville. Unforgettable sandwiches, that's Maverick's Real Roast Beef.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by All My Relations Arts and their current gallery exhibit, Okizi, in partnership with the American Swedish Institute, now until April 13th off of Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis.
Okizi to heal. Hey, we are here with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute. And I know every time I introduce you, Robert, you're on pins and needles, hoping I don't introduce the Native American Community Clinic.
Lots of people confuse us. Very different organizations. But I know that the talented Dr. Anthony Stately is a regular guest on your program. So.
Right, exactly. But it's fun. You know, years ago when I just did film and video, and we always said what always made a good voiceover person. And that was somebody with a good voice, but no brains. And sometimes that ekes out in me because I have a great voice. And sometimes I'm a little confused.
I thought it was just an act you put on to make yourself seem like a better voiceover person.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was authentic, right?
Exactly. Thank you. Well, we always have fun, and I reminisce back to when we were a two-hour show on Saturdays, and we did pre-record, and you and I would do a segment, which was roughly 10, 12 minutes, but we'd always have a great, great conversation before we recorded, and I miss those days, but we see each other and talk in person now instead of over the phone and like we used to when we were recording way back in the day.
Yeah, our conversations now remind me more of those unrecorded pre-program conversations we used to have. And I like it better for a number of reasons. I mean, of course, I always do a little preparation for this time. But back then, I would spend hours, you know, collecting data, earmarking articles. So when I did open my mouth, I sounded like like I had something in my head.
You know, it's funny. When we went live, you and I had that conversation where we didn't talk ahead of time, and you'd be super prepared like the old Saturday days, and we'd go off on some other direction.
Right. And I never know where we're going to go. But I have this range of tabs open here on my laptop and some other little notes here, just in case. But I really thought you were going to go in this sort of national political scene direction, just because there's so much going on. But I really enjoy talking about the local stuff, too.
Yeah, and I love having you on for three segments. And like again tonight, we're going to end with Wendy and I getting almost into a couple car accidents on I-80, and a few swear words. So hopefully they'll be ready to hit the panic button at the mother station. But I really, you know, I love having you on because that maybe we can segue a little bit into the national stuff because there is so much going on.
Yeah. And as we do that, I just really want to lift up my whiter sister, Peggy Flanagan, our lieutenant governor, elected lieutenant governor, and just some of the opportunity recognition she's been getting lately. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she was named by USA Today one of their Women of the Year. She's in this article called Badass Women. And I think it's Minnesota Magazine, isn't it? I can't find it all of a sudden.
Yeah, it is.
And that's just another example of what we really need, visibility, right? Mm-hmm. 10 years ago, Native people were invisible to the outside world. And now because of the work of people like Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, Congresswoman Sharice Davids, and other high-profile.
Deb Haaland.
Oh, that's right. Secretary Deb Haaland, of course. That's just lifting everyone's visibility. The incredible TV shows on streaming, you know, they're great. I mean, this is what we need, right? Visibility.
Mm-hmm. And just to back up a second, I believe, and I could be wrong, a lot of this had to do with our plight in Standing Rock and how people were experiencing that from the outside and then opening doors. I truly believe that the Washington football team would still be the racist name if it wasn't for the George Floyd murder and Standing Rock happening around the same time.
I agree. And like I said earlier, for me personally, Standing Rock was just a real game changer, really changed the way I view my work. But I agree, it brought visibility to not just issues of protecting the earth, the water, from pipeline investment construction, but really that Native people, starting with the seven council fires, could come together and then build more and more. It was really international movement built into. And so that brought awareness outside, a lot of big movie stars and stuff, you know, became engaged and allies in doing that. And then kind of simultaneously, there's been a lot of effort to us to be very deliberate with narrative change, right? And there's the Reclaiming Native Truth Strategies, which if you're not familiar with them, I'd encourage everyone to Google them. They also have great guides for allies, but Reclaiming Native Truth and sort of narrative change organizations came into being like Illuminative and here locally Indian Collective and NACTI. That's the kind of work we do too, narrative change. So it's great to be a solid local partner for these regional and national efforts.
Absolutely. And I love my wife, and we went to Standing Rock about four times, and we rented a RV, got firewood, got donations, got clothing, and went there and didn't stay there long. We just, because the people were doing all that peaceful protesting. But I got to tell you a quick story is that Wendy said, no way, it was Thanksgiving week that we're going to go and get arrested. We had our two little dogs with us, and they were putting up a bridge across from Turtle Hill. Do you remember that, where all the police were up in the hill?
Yeah.
Next thing you know, we're crossing the bridge with our hands and fist up. You know, it's just we got caught up into it.
You couldn't help yourself. Yeah, good for you. Good for you. Yeah, that was really something.
Mm-hmm. It was, and it's the reason why, and Haley brought up, it was 8 years ago. It's the reason why Native Roots Radio started in the first place.
Oh, yeah. First off, it amazes me that it's 8 years ago, but I didn't know that was the connection. Were you broadcasting out there?
No, but what we had an opportunity to get on AM 950 and talk about Native issues, and at Standing Rock was still happening, and we were able to have a couple months worth of shows along with Wendy's Sacred Animal section, which she only had 2 minutes at the time, and then she ended up with the whole section, and it was fun how it grew and changed and morphed.
At Standing Rock, I'm trying to remember that one area where you could get Wi-Fi. Was that called Facebook Hill?
Yep.
Yeah, and so there'd always be hundreds of people up on the slope of Facebook Hill because you could actually get online. And that was another place, kind of like Powwow Grounds Coffee Shop, where people I wanted to see would just sort of appear. Judith LeBlanc, I'm guessing you know her.
Yeah.
She had founder of Native Organizers Alliance. And I knew she was going to be there when I was there. I really got to connect with Judith. And I look, and out of these hundreds of people, she's standing right next to me. I'm like, hey, thanks, Judith, for materializing right out of my brain.
Yeah, and it was funny, too. Back then, Dallas Goldtooth had at least 20 minutes, half hour every day on updates. So we knew what was going on, and we knew what kind of danger or not danger was happening when we were coming. It was really important to have that. And he did that up on Facebook Hill because that's the only place they had any Wi-Fi. Because it was, as you found out at the end, it was being blocked by the military.
Right, right. A lot of stuff was going on there. I was leaving just as the National Guard was coming in, and it was pretty, we had roadblock, checks leaving. Not coming in, but they would stop. They stopped because I was there with our dear friend Mike Gozy.
Yeah,
Ho Chunk friend, and we got stopped by the point border guard kind of crossing. It was really weird.
Well, and bringing up Mike and Marlene, they started that school there because there were so many students that were helping with the back, feeding people and helping with the things, and they started a school there.
That's I was out there with our revered now ancestor Marlene Hagamo, Reverend Marlene Hagamo, another Ho-Chunk sister, right? And she more or less told me I was coming out there with her and her delegation. She was out there quite a bit, and for those who knew Marlene Hagamo, she didn't make requests. If Marlene told you to do something, you did it. I was proud to be one of Marlene's minions, as Mike Gozy called us.
Absolutely. And it's funny, full circle in our conversation, we were talking about the lieutenant governor, and Tom was married by Marlene.
Right. Oh, yeah. He's right on the river. I was there.
I know. Rub it in.
I was there. Yeah. And it was a very small wedding, but Lieutenant Governor Flanagan, Peggy is my little sister, and I've been happy to support her throughout her political life. No, geez, 20 years. 20 years since her first election, and we've just been mutually supportive ever since, and I just think the world of her.
I always like to speculate, too, because I don't know how long this team's going to last, but, the timing may be come up where it's Senator Peggy Flanagan someday.
Governor or president, right? And this is no lie. When I was working on her first campaign, she was running for Minneapolis School Board back in 2004. And that's when I was getting to know her. And I was just amazed by her brilliance and her maturity and her care for the people. And you could tell not only was she going to win this election, but she was going to go on to think she became a state legislator, now our lieutenant governor. But even way back then during that first school board campaign, I remember I was sitting there working on something or message or something. And I remember thinking, wow, this woman could easily be governor someday. I remember thinking that. And I thought, hell, she could be president someday. Why put a cap on it, you know? And so I'm thrilled to see she's still a young woman. She was, I think she, at the time when she was elected to the Minneapolis School Board, I think she was the youngest member ever elected.
Wow.
And she's still in her, what, early 40s, I guess that would make her now. So she has a long journey. She has a long way to go.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and Robert, you've helped a lot of people and still help a lot of people get elected. So it's great to hear those stories too. And I know for better or worse, you helped me get elected too. So.
Hey, don't blame me for that.
Awesome. Hey, thanks. Have a great week, Robert. Always great talking with you. Up next, Wendy and I talking about sacred animals and what's happening. This is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Life can be hectic. Sometimes the pressure can feel like too much, and the emotions can be overwhelming. Hennepin County's COPE Mobile Crisis Response is here to listen and help you find a way through whatever is going on in your life. Call 612-596-1223 for no-cost crisis support anytime, anywhere in Hennepin County. That number is 612-596-1223. 596-1223. Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hi, I'm Chuck Manette, owner of Native Concrete and Masonry. With concrete and masonry adding substantial value to your home, it's always a great idea to repair your sidewalks or just add a beautiful new patio. Cracks or heaving in your sidewalks due to tree roots can be dangerous. Native Concrete and Masonry has helped clients across the metro to make their outdoor space safer and helped increase the value to their homes. For patios, sidewalks, driveways, or garage slabs, go to nativeconcretemasonry.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh! Hey, we are here in Pennsylvania, the USA, and I'm here with Wendy. And Wendy, please introduce yourself.
Hey everybody, my name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Daga Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues on the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. And yes, we are driving along kind of in a traffic jam right now in Pennsylvania. We have seen some wildlife as we're driving. But we have our little dog in the back. Her name is Wanda, and she is a little bit anxious. I'm hoping that she'll calm down. We do have medication for her. She does take trazodone when we're gone for long periods of time because she has separation anxiety. And you know what? I didn't even know she had separation anxiety, and the only reason I found out was because I got a little camera to watch her while I was away, because when I get home, she's like so happy to see me, but it's like even beyond that, like her look, if looks like her eyes are bugging out of her head and she's out of breath and she's just beside herself. So I got a camera to see what she does while I'm away, right? While we're away, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And it's really sad what I saw. So she just paces back and forth, and it's really just horrific. And she whines and cries and barks and paces. And I mean, if I'm gone for 7 hours, that's what she's doing for 7 hours. So I'm glad I found this out, because I really never knew that she behaved this way while we were gone. So now I let the doctor know, her veterinarian, and the vet gave her some trazodone, which is working really well for her. And we give that to her at least an hour and a half to 2 hours before we leave, especially if we're going to be gone for more than 4 hours. If we're just going out for an hour, I don't give it to her, because I don't want her to be, you know, medicated and loopy and out of it all the time. Yeah, so anyway, she's in the car with us. She whines a little, but we haven't given her any medication because I don't want to give her medication.
Well, her breed, though, we found out was a protector breed, and it really makes sense.
Yeah. You know what? We're on the road right now. We're over a bridge, and underneath the bridge, I see a horse and buggy. And what it is an the Amish, because we're in Pennsylvania, so that's the Amish. I'm just going to change the subject here. The Amish, their almost number one moneymaker is puppy mills.
What?
They are the almost the leading breeding capital in Pennsylvania. That's what they do. They have puppy mills.
They don't make that nice furniture like they do in Wisconsin?
Yeah, they do. They do that too, and they also have puppy mills. Oh, so they have the puppy mills, the cages. We've seen pictures of them. And so they, you know, they get their dogs, and they bring them to the, you know, pet stores, and that's where they're sold. So again, I always say, please adopt, do not shop, because the dogs and cats who are in a pet store are 99.9% of them are originated from a puppy mill, and the mom dog and the dad dog spend their whole lives in cages just breeding puppies. So please always adopt, do not shop. And that's what Jane Goodall said. Jane Goodall said that when we went to see her on April 1st. And that's what I stand by. Do not shop. And the other thing I want to say is, hey, Wolf Day. Wolf Day is on Wednesday, April 17th at the Minnesota State Capitol. Please go to Howling for Wolves and register for the event. You just go to Howling for Wolves and then click on events. The event for the Wolf Day will be there, and just register and then come to the Minnesota State Capitol. Howling for Wolves will set you up with an appointment to speak to your local legislators, and you could tell them why it's important to ban hunting and trapping of wolves for good. So that's what we want to do.
Wendy's changing lanes right now.
Yeah, sorry, I'm driving. Robert's holding the microphone here for me, so I can't shut off my signal. What the hell is going on? Whoops.
No need to swear on radio here, but the blinker stops after a certain point of time, okay. So that's, you can't just turn it off.
Heck. All right. So what else do we want to talk about? We want to talk about why it's important to save our wolves, our Minnesota wolves. We have the only original wolves, the lower 48 states. So we want to keep them safe. And you know, these wolves are hunted. You don't eat the meat of a wolf. So it's not like you're going to be eating the food. It's a trophy. It's a trophy. They use their hide and they stuff these animals and put them on display. We've all learned that a wolf pack is a very stable pack. The alpha male and female, and it's usually their pups. So that's a pack. And they work really well together as far as keeping the family unit safe and hunting together. So they'll hunt together to bring down big animals like elk, deer, right? Those types of animals. When the wolf pack is disrupted and an alpha member is killed in the pack, the pack doesn't know what to do anymore. Right, they'll split up, they'll go elsewhere, and then that's when they get in trouble. That's when they go to the, cattle farms and, kill baby calves, and they try to, they'll kill smaller animals. So it's really important that we just keep our wolves, the packs intact, so that they can thrive, and they'll take care of, upstate Minnesota, the hunters complain that the wolves kill too many of the animals that they want to kill. So, you know what I mean? So it's like there's all these people and all these people want to kill all the animals, right? But if we just left the ecosystem alone and let the wolves take care of it, they would do just fine. So anyway, if you, I will be there April 17th. It's Wednesday. I think it starts at like 10 a.m. is check-in and whatever. You get a t-shirt, there's a light lunch, you meet like-minded people, and it's a really fun day. And you know what? When you go in and you talk with your House representative and your senator about stuff like this, you really feel empowered. You know, you're bringing awareness to them because they don't know about every single bill and ordinance that's put in front of their face. And if somebody goes in and explains why they should vote a certain way on a bill or an ordinance, it's really bringing awareness to them. And I want to give a shout out to Minnesota Senator Mary Kunish. Last year, she did a fantastic job in authoring this bill. And we will keep working on it. It did not pass the Senate. And we had a lot of pushback from Republican senators who are in, northern Minnesota. So come down to Wolf Day, April 17th, and we'll get to say hi.
Hey, big peeny geeky, Wendy. Hey, we're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.
See you tomorrow, Native Roots Radio.